And it's been on my mind to try to unpack the implications of this con. So I thought, hey, let's listen into this one. And I'm really glad I did. He said, quote, my students who are very idealistic and they do want to change the world, they don't have much of a memory of government or even of a society that we are a part of expanding equal opportunity, changing the structure of power. They don't remember, as I do, the 1960s, because when so much of the income and wealth go to the top, the rest simply don't have the purchasing power to keep the economy going at full employment. If you put more money into people's pockets, they can turn around and buy stuff, which means more jobs, not fewer jobs, unquote. This is misdirection on multiple levels. To say that in the post-World War II period, the U.S. was an economic engine that generated prosperity in which all of its, quote-unquote, people shared, is, per usual in economic theory, upside down. The global industrial machine ripped bloody the resources of many lands and paid many U.S. citizens for their unconscious complicity with the entrails. And to suggest this should be what we want for our future, even if you could force it on the world again, is obscene. And we must always acknowledge that the hierarchical arrangement of the world, by which some in the so-called knowledge sectors seem to benefit, is also replicated within states. If you're crafting, using control of the flow of money as your chisel, a hierarchical world order, hierarchy is a principle that has to be reinforced within states as well as between them. If only by trucking in immigrant labor or ranking children in school, if all are winners, dangerous thoughts might start to brew. Economists, and when economists say that it's people buying stuff that, quote unquote, keeps the economy running, what they're really saying is that it's money that keeps the economy running, quote unquote. And since it is power with its stashed trillions that controls where the money goes and uses its muscle to price handwork low, they're ultimately saying that it's power that, quote unquote, keeps the economy running. But money is a stand-in for the earth, either the earth called our brothers and sisters or the earth beneath our feet, and its consumption. So when Reich tells us to lust for more products, more stuff, to keep power's teeth gnashing at our grandmother's flesh, don't listen. Listen rather to what your body says, which I know for more and more of us globally is, I'm tired. I'm tired of this mess. So it is a very constructed mythology that only stands up, this notion of this supposed engine of prosperity that the U.S. economy, quote unquote, once was. This is a constructed mythology that only stands up if we pretend to believe that this thing called the U.S. economy sets the terms in which power thinks and operates according to, as opposed to thinking in terms of the global market and being a global operator. It only stands up if we pretend not to see that the U.S. economy is in fact the compact manifestation of a substantial portion of the resources of the globe. The so-called U.S. economy is a ladder location in a world hierarchical order in which your place is determined by how much of the earth you can claim. The so-called economic golden era of the 60s simply means a feeding frenzy, a gluttonous eating of our sisters and brothers shoved onto the global plate by their dictators. The so-called golden economic era of the 60s, that mythology is a subtle promotion of the nation state as the only important frame. The eye of power shifted to choice pickings, and some in the U.S. were briefly feasted on less. This is not my definition of success for we the people. And as to putting money in our hands so we can buy things and using this as our standard for whether we have been provided with the requisite happiness? I don't think so. And while I suppose it's true that if power were struck dumb and insensate, if it fell asleep for 100 years or so, and all the money that goes to surveillance and so-called security and to subsidizing all the industry that destroys the planet fastest were instead given to those needing food and shelter, in exchange, let's say, for building their own earthships and gardens, and you called this process creating short-term employment, I suppose if you did this, happiness would indeed be served, and Earth would be preserved, returned to careful stewardship. But what if then power sits up, gives itself a shake, and revisits all its banks, retrieving its now grown trillions, and looks about for what it must eat first to restore the rule of statesmen?